الحمد لله أوله بلا أول كان قبله كان قبله وآخره بلا آخر يكون بعده الذي قصرت عن رؤيته أبصار الناظرين وأجزت عن نعته أوهام الواسفين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين سيما بقية الله العظم بقية الله خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين ولعنة الداعم على أعدائهم وغاسب حقوقهم ومنكر فضائلهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم والسلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته وقال أبو عبد الله الحسين عليه السلام أثني الله بأحسن الثناء. In the continuation of the discussion of the khutbah of Imam Hussein on the eve of Ashura, prior to, I request our sisters to be quiet a bit so that we can start our discussion with a salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Another salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Where Imam delivers that sermon in front of his companions in the evening after Maghribain or Maghrib prayers apparently, which has been recorded by the companions, more so over by the fourth Imam, by the fifth Imam who was present there. And then it was delivered or protected or saved and it reached us. That is really a blessing in itself. We pointed out to the important aspect or certain phenomena that really affect for us to understand this sermon. One, we said the value of ma'rifat, which means knowledge, the value of knowledge, the value of understanding, you know, knowledge stroke understanding, which is called ma'rifat in Arabic or in Farsi, right? One must have that understanding of what's been delivered and by who, and then only one will be able to appreciate that. You know, that's called true understanding of that khutbah or what Abu Abdullah Hussain alayhi salam is trying to deliver. So one must really have that understanding, that ma'rifat. That's number one. Related to that, we pointed out to these sciences which is very much important, which is an offshoot of ma'rifat, which is the ma'rifat of the soul. It is the most important aspect, and we kind of, you know, highlighted or provided a lip service, so to speak, because in one session or two sessions it cannot be discussed. But it is very important just to know that the afzalul ma'rifa, the best of ma'rifa, is considered to be knowing the self. You know. And while discussing that, we also mentioned that what really becomes an impediment or a hurdle for us not to know ourself or not to have that knowledge or understanding, and that is sin. You know, our sins will not allow us to increase our understanding of God or of divine realities. That is the sins which will not allow us. And we pointed out to certain ways through which, through forgiveness, through tawbah, through accepting our sins itself, using that as a medium or as a vehicle to get release from these sins, to connect to God. And one more thing we pointed out to was adab, was etiquette and moral. It's very important. If we have that ma'rifat, meaning that if we have that knowledge and understanding, that in the majlis of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam, the presence of the malaika, the presence of the Masumeen, and particularly the presence of Siddiqah Kubra Fatimatu Zahra Salamu Alayha. So when we have that ma'rifat, that such divine heavenly bodies, they appear in the majlis of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and if you have that ma'rifat, that will bring about that adab, that will bring about that etiquette and moral in us, that when I am going to a majlis, the way I will sit there, the things that I will speak, the things that I will do, you know, all that is related to the moral, to that etiquette, you know, of me. Why am I rectifying myself? Why am I correcting myself? It's because I have the ma'rifat, because I have the knowledge of what majlis really means, what really takes place in a majlis. So as I have that knowledge, the reaction to that is I am rectifying, correcting, mu'addabing, you know, myself. Now, I think these were just a premise for the discussion of that 3 or 4 line khutbah of Abu Abdullah on the eve of Ashura. As the khutbah begins by saying, Uthniya, Uthniya Allah bi ahsana thana. Now this sana, there are 3 things. The one thing is thana, and hamd, and shukr. And they are used with, they support each other. You know, sometimes they are used, we find we are saying hamd. Sometimes they say shukr, you know. You say alhamdulillah or shukran lillah. And also there's a word which goes sana. You know, sana'i khuda, madh'i khuda, for example. You know, praise. And when we look at the English translation of sana, hamd, and shukr, it's all praise. You know, that is the difficult that the English language have to really transfer what really sana means. You know, sana has a different meaning, hamd has a different meaning, shukr has a different meaning. But here, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is mentioning uthniya, you know, I am doing the sana. What does sana mean? What and how is it different to hamd, where he also praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right after that? You know, I give hamd to Allah in sarrai wa dharrai, for example, at the time of ease, pain and difficulties, and at the time of joyous occasion as well, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this usniya, this thana really means an all-encompassing praise. The definition of thana or the meaning of thana is a praise period, meaning that whether the thing which one is being praised have aql or not, the thing that I'm praising have any sort of choice, ikhtiyar or not, the thing that I'm praising is alive or not. You know, I see a beautiful scenery, I say, I praise it. It's really beautiful. Regardless of what that is it beautiful because, you know, it made itself beautiful, you know. You know, when I say, for example, you know, what a beautiful dress, because the tailor have made that, you know. So this praise is going towards that tailor, for instance, right, you know. Or it is with an ikhtiyar, you know, a child, when he comes in the majlis, he switches off his cell phone because it distracts him from texting, chatting and all that. You know, I praise him, well done. This is the way to come to majlis of Imam Hussain. That you are not distracted with all these gadgets. And you listen to the majlis, right? So that's a praise. But a praise for what? For an action which has been carried out with aql. Because those who are going to the majlis, that's what they will do. They are aql. You know, they have that intellect, they have that aql. You know. At least they will put it on the silent, for example. If it's really an emergency, you know, then they will respond. You know. But for children or for, you know, our youth, you know, there's nothing other than that important. There's a doctor or on call or something. Anyways, so you praise that. When you praise that, you're praising because of that intellectual action that he has carried out. That is not sana. You know, Sana is all, it includes sana there, but that is hamd. That is called ham. That you are praising something that the thing which has been praised have some sort of ikhtiyar, some sort of choice, some sort of aql. It has done with his sort of calculation. Then you are praising, right? It is also sana, because sana's daira, or the sana is the outer circle. Then you have the hamd, which is the inner circle. Now this hamd is whether this hamd be beneficial to you or not being beneficial to you is alhamdulillah. How are you feeling? You still have pain, but it's alhamdulillah, you know. It's all praise to Allah, no matter what. It's alhamdulillah. But if he is having chilo kebab, you know, kubi de, and he's really hungry, how are you? Shukranillah, you know, it's because what has been given to him is of value, and it is something, a positive value, according to him, according to his calculation, you know. So that's called shukr. You know, that's also a praise, but it's called shukr. So these are the three differences. But sana is that bigger sort of circle, which includes shukr, which includes hamd as well. Hamd is the inner circle, and that smaller circle is that shukr. You know. So whenever we find these words in the ibarat, in the text of the Masumin alayhim salam, that they say hamd, and then the shukr, and then sana. Particularly in the khutbah fadakiyah of Siddiqa Tahira Fatimatu Zahra salamu alayha, you have that, where she praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all three. She includes all of them, you know. She has that hamd and shukr and sana as well within it. So here the imam is also saying uthniya, you know, he's giving the sana, but he is making the daire, or the circle, or the definition of thana very particular by saying ahsana thana, you know, the best of the praises. And at the same time, he is bringing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the equation, which is pointing out to a conscious praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One might say perhaps it is on the level of shukr, you know, because one thing here for Masumeen and the Awliya, in every state they are in the state of shukr. And the state of shukr is really fascinating and amazing. You know, this khutbah ends with the dua of the imam, where the imam says that, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ, count us, O Allah, from your shukr guzar bandes, from those thanksgiven individual, count us. That's a dua of the imam. So the maqam and the station of shukr is really fascinating and amazing. As we recite in dua of Rajabiyya, we ask, you know, Allahumma inni as'aluka hamda shakirin alak. You know, provide us with the Allahumma inni as'aluka sabra shakirin. I'm sorry, sabra shakirin, with the patience of those who are shakirin. You know, look at this chemistry of two phenomena. Sabr and shukr. You know, sabr is at a time of difficulties, right? Sabr is not at a time when one is at ease, is having fun. That's not called sabr. You know, sabr is at a time of difficulties. So we ask Allah in this dua, Allahumma inni asaluka sabra shakirin. You know, a patience, a sabr of the shakirin. Those who are the thanksgiving bandes, thanksgiving individuals. So being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praising through shukr is really amazing. And here Hazrat Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam is pointing out to that, and in the end he requires and asks that, inshallah later on in the future night perhaps we'll look at what is this maqam shakirin really, where Abu Abdullah is seeking and asking. You know, they asked, there's a hadith in Aql o Jahl of Imam, in the commentary he has brought this while discussing the maratib of shukr, the levels of shukr. The ashab of the fifth Imam, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, comes to the Imam and actually the Imam inquires Jabir, in what state are you, O Jabir? He says, I'm thanking, alhamdulillah. You know, sometimes the student tends to hide and wants to, you know, show things that are good, so to speak. You know, although Jabir maqam is really Ala, indeed Jabir, has been so close to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam that whenever we do the Hadith Kisa, look at the barakat, look at the blessing, look at the maqam of Jabir really. This is how one should become with the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. That in every function and every time we have hajat, we open up the book, we say, An Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Before taking the asma of the masumeen, of the panjatan, we say, Jabir. Look, this means that how sincere Jabir was. How much Jabir have really served the household of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that the Ahlul Bayt have returned this ahsan, that his name exists in Hadith-e-Kisa. That it An Jabir, comes from that. So here Jabir says, Alhamdulillah. Then Imam inquires, do you know Jabir, in what state we are? We are in a state of shukr. Whether joy, whether happiness comes to us, we actually thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or even if we are in difficulties, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is a darajah balatar, which is a darajah hayatar than hamd. So Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, awliya'i kiram are on that level. Now here Uthniya, and he is particularizing this sana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is saying that, I am praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a praise that is considered to be the best of praise, while including Allah, which is the name of Allah, which he brings that tawheed, that belief, in that praise. Praise of Allah. Allah, which is a fa'il, Allah, which have that ikhtiyar. So praise is related to Allah. It's not like a general praise. He's bringing Allah, that name Isme Jalale, obviously. Not a particular name he has brought. I thank Rahman or I thank Rahim. Although Rahman is also, one of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are two names of Allah. Qul Ad'u Rahman or Allah. These are the two unique and special names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and it says Allah. Now this Allah and the belief of Tawheed is very important. And look, this khutbah, when is Imam delivering this khutbah? It is on the eve of Ashura, where he's surrounded and he's praising Allah in this fashion. He knows that tomorrow the sunrise, the dawn, what will bring? The women and children in the tents, they are thirsty. There is a battle waiting for them. Their heads will be disjointed from the bodies. Every person is going to die, as Abu Abdullah have already mentioned them and showed them the maqamat and the levels that they will have. Anyway, in that state, this is nothing but pointing out to that tranquility and peace this nafs is, this soul is. And at the same time, the companions. And he is transferring this to the class, to the students. When he is delivering that khutbah, there's a transformation taking place. He is giving that to them, which is bringing peace in their heart as well. Right? That's what happens in a class. That's what happens. The teacher teaches and the student takes from the teacher. So Abu Abdullah is teaching them. When he is saying Uthniya, when he is praising Allah and Ahsan al-Praise, that means they are taking that. And who is the teacher? The teacher is Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. That transformation, if only one word, imagine, as we believe that the Imam is Hay and alive, is and among us. Imagine if we just see the Imam and he says, Mahdi, Abbas, Jafar, believe in Allah. La ilaha illallah. If I see the Imam and he says that, what sort of certainty it will bring to my heart? All the shak and doubts that I have will be completely gone. It's just one saying of the Imam. Imagine if when we say Assalamu alayka Abu Abdullah and we hear Wa alaykum assalam, what will happen of that? So here the Imam is saying Uthniya, Uthniya Allah, I am praising Allah and the Ahsana praise, and the followers of the Imam are sitting there and listening. What sort of yaqeen these people are achieving and attaining? through the deliverance of this khutbah of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. So here Allah, which is Tawheed, which is the faith, which is the belief in the oneness of God, have two aspects. One aspect is that Zahiri, a lafzi aspect, which the Yazidi people were also saying, La ilaha illallah. You know, when they decapitated, when they raised the head of Abu Abdullah Hussein, they were saying, Allahu Akbar. You know, they were Hafiz, they were praying the Salat, so on and so forth. They also believed in Allah as well. So that's a lafzi and an outward aspect of that faith and belief. However, there's a deeper aspect of that Tawheed, where the Batini and the Ikhlasi and the sincere aspect. That Tawheed, in according to the hadith of Amirul Mumineen, we say, Kamalu Tawheed Ikhlasu Lahu. The Kamal of that Tawheed, believing in Allah, which is La ilaha illallah Tawheed, oneness of God, is that sincerity and ikhlas in Tawheed. One must have that sincere belief and iman in Tawheed. The Quran, what does it say? We say that we are mu'min, aren't we? We all are mu'min. But the Quran is making us mushrik. We say we are mu'min, but the Quran says, no, you're not mu'min. You're mushrik. Why? Because it says in Surah Yusuf, it says, وَمَا يُؤْمِنْ أَكْثَرَهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. There isn't any mu'min, most of them, أكثر of them, you know, on Allah, بِاللَّهِ, you know, that ism al-Jalali, Allah is used. You know, they are illa, except that they are mushrik. That means that tawheed, we believe in Allah, we all do, but it is not khalis. It has to be that pure, khulus, sincere. And this is reflected in our actions, for example. You know, khulus have that amali aspect. Because when we practice, when we do things, it could be for riya, it could be for show off, it could be, you know, for ourselves, you know, that I should read, I practice so that I don't stutter, so that I don't get stuck. You know, it's not really, you know, before coming here, Mahdi came this morning to my room and said, this book there, that book there, it's like, oh, it's a big mess. You know, probably now my sister-in-law, she has to spend 2-3 weeks cleaning the room after I go back. You know, so that I do not get stuck. Is it really for Imam Hussein? Or is it that I don't get stuck and embarrassed? You know, but if I make a mistake, I should prepare, you know. Has to be that khalis, Abu Abdullah. You come here and you sit and you speak, that's it. You don't need all of this stuff, you know. So in action, in amal, you know, it has to be pure and sincere. You know, when a person is acting, it has to be lillah. That's how the ikhlas comes about. The hadith of the Imam continues, what is really khulus in terms of the belief? It says, kamalu tawheed ikhlasullah wa kamalul ikhlas. What is the perfection of that ikhlas? You know, how this sincerity could be perfected. He says, wal kamalu al-ikhlas lahu nafi an sifati an. To negate the awsaf, the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what belief in Tawheed means, that oneness, that Allah. That you negate all sifat. You know, he becomes nothing but that very who. You know, Allah who, right? That mystery. He is mystery. He is who. You negate all this. It's like, for example, a paper. You know, when you have a paper, it's a white paper. The whiteness is the sifat of this paper. So there is such thing called whiteness and there is paper. The other thing, there's two things here. But with Allah, it's not like that. When we say Allah is Alim, Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is Rahman, Allah is Rahim, Allah is, you know, Halim, Allah is Kamil, you know, all of these qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one have to really negate. Or say that this is, as the theologian says, is a part of his Zat. There's no duality. And on a higher level, even this has to be negated. You know, Allah is above all of that. We comprehend and we think this is how Allah is. It is because our mind, our hearts are limited to cope and understand Him. And we have no other ways but through this to understand Him. But in reality and truth, He is that mystery. You know, you have to negate all the awsaf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to know Allah by Allah. You know, there are two burhan in philosophy. One is called burhan-e-in and burhan-e-li. Or which we tend to see in du'as as well. Allahumma arifni nafsak, fa'in lam ta'arifni nafsak, lam na'arif nabiyak. Oh Allah, make me recognize your nafs. So it's directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather than make me recognize the ayat, the creation, and then through that I understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are two ways, like we said, knowing God. One is through His Zat, where He says in Dua Arafah that, oh Allah, is there anything other than you existing, for example? What is apparent is you. I do not need any dalil to come to you. You're here. You're right here. Or in Dua Abu Hamza Somali, where you recite, you know, I recognize you through you or because of yourself. I don't need anything. Because أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, isn't it? He is much closer to our jugular vein, right? He is not far away. He doesn't need any calculation. He is there, that's it. Right? So that's called, you know, lim. That's called direct. Directly knowing God through negating all the awsaf. And then after that, we say that, okay, He is also Ghafoor, He is also Adil, He is also Rahim, He is also knowledgeable, He is also perfect, He is also powerful, He has the Qudra, you know, He is also Haleem, He has that sort of hilm and patience, He is Latif, He is very subtle. You know, that's later. And the other way is possible as well. But it seems the higher ma'rifat of knowing God or understanding is that, where you directly know God. So here, that's what the kamal of ikhlas is pointing out to. And what happens is that when a person comes to this understanding, which Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is really ilqa, is really transferring this ma'rifat, this understanding to the companions on that night, it reaches to a point where everything the person sees, because a person who's praising at this hour and thanking in the next, you know, in the next sentence that I thank you, you know, in the times of joy and in the times of pain as well. It doesn't make any difference. This points out to that concept, which is in Surah Yunus, verse number 107. And if Allah touches you with harm, there is no one who can remove it except He, except Allah. You know, because it's from Allah. Whatsoever, you know, ma min harakatin, whatever harakat is there, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, la mu'assara fil wujud illa Allah. You know, it is that. So he says, the Quran says that, you know, it is He who will save you or who will protect you. And if He plans some benefit for you, then there is no one who can keep back His mercy. You know, if when He wants, you know, same reflection in the du'as of Imam, Dua Arafah. You know, when He got you, what does He want? He found you. He got Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is there anything else He wants after He got Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can anyone imagine that if I say that I have God, that do I need anything else? Right? So the philosophy and the understanding of Abu Abdullah is that when he is giving that praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people who are there, the companions who are there, are in the same boat. You know, they have left everything. They had properties, families, children, but they are sitting there. Why? Because they are the referent of this verse. They are the mizdaq. They are manifestating this very verse. They are this ayat. You know, we say ayat, right? These are all the ayat of the Quran. If someone wants to see the walking, living, sitting, eating, drinking ayat of this ayat of 107, is there, the companions of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. Allah says that if He plans some benefit for you, then there is no one who can keep back His mercy. He makes it reach whoever of His servants that He pleases, and He is the of forgiving, Ghafoor, and He is Rahim. On the other side, you have the Yazidi forces, the camp of Yazid, in the state of distress. in a state of fear, in a state of awe. 35,000 or more. 72. Look at the difference. Here, complete harmony, tranquility, peace, relaxation, to the extent that they were joking with each other, Burair and Zuhair, for example, they are hadith which points out to. How they reach that state is that deliverance. So here Abu Abdullah and the companions is with, they have this philosophy that whatsoever comes is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Which is nothing but pointing out to that very verse in the other Quran, in the Quran, which says, Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lillahi rabbil alameen. My salat, my living, my life, and my death is for Allah. Whatsoever happens, happens. They have reached that state. They have completed the journey of perfection and kamal. That's why they have become awliya Allahi wa ahibba'u. They are the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have become that waliullahs. Maybe one might say, as I was mentioning this afternoon, one might say that, but some people came just few hours after the night. You know, there were about two who came to, no, there were about 30, not two, who joined Imam Hussein on the night. Because they saw in their camps people celebrating, dancing, you know, and so on and so forth. And they hear the voices of du'as and munajat the companions and the Imam calling Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, which they have never heard from any of them. See, the transformation, as we are saying, you know, if we just hear that La ilaha illallah from Imam himself, you know, saying that, oh Jafar, there is no God but God, from the Imam, while looking at him, while holding his hand, is something else. You know, apart from this, they also have this, the azkar or the zikr or the prescription which is prescribed by the asatid, by the teachers, by the ulama of akhlaq. You know, they give you the same dua. For example, this was this Agha Behjad. You know, when you go to him, he will say, what shall I do for the dua of memorization? My memory is weak. No, he says, okay, there's dua in Mafadi, Subhanaman la yahtadi ala ahli mamlikati. You know, he will tell you that dua. We know that it is that dua, but when you go tell him and he tells you, it's something else. The effect, the asar, is something else. You know. Imam complained to his teacher about not grasping or having concentration focus issues in the class to Abul Qasim al-Qummi. Abul Qasim al-Qummi, he's buried right below the grave of Ayatollah Burjardi in the Haram in Masjid-e-Azam. If you take his khabar, is there, his grave is there, and if you take one step, it's the last grave on the left, which is very next to Ayatollah Bahauddini. You know, there's a very small grave. Sheikh Abul Qasim was Ajube. You know, the damad, the son-in-law of Imam, asked Imam Khomeini one day that, because Sheikh Abul Qasim was ustad, he says, the son-in-law asked him that they say that Abul Qasim al-Qummi had karamat. So Imam replied, wujudashun karamat put. He himself was a miracle, you know, his presence. So he complained and he said, and he called the Imam, and in his ear he recited, سَيَذَكَّرُ فَذَكِّرِ النَّفَعَةِ الذِّكْرَ or سَنُقِرُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. I recite and you do not forget, which is the ayah of the Quran in Surah Ala. So Sheikh Abul Qasim al-Qummi, in the year of Imam Khomeini, he says سَنُقِرُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. And Imam Khomeini, after that, he never complained of forgetting or losing concentration span. So when it comes from amel, when it comes from a person who is acting, who is khalis, who have reached that maqam, is something else. So here, this sermon, which is three or four lines, is being delivered by Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. To whom? To these people. So some people ask that how come that in one night they become awliya? Just few hours ago they were with the Yazidi, in one night they... When Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells them, and that is it. When it's coming from that insan kamil, it's coming from the one who the wujud, existence itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself doesn't reject. To that extent, you know, there are many sort of karamat, mujizat of Abu Abdullah Hussain alayhi salam in this regard, which you have heard. So the conversion of the companions and reaching of them on that level is through the Imam. He has made them reach that level. It's just as Asra bi Abdihi Layl min al-Masjid al-Haram ila Masjid al-Aqsa. It was just one night that the Prophet was taken from Masjid al-Haram to Aqsa wa faqana qabla qawsayn wa adna. You know, to that level. It was just in that second. Right? It would have taken many years and years of ibadat and worship, but in that 1/10 of a second, the Prophet was taken, right? Because it's the wujud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing that. So here it is the wujud of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam that not only converted or have taken and have made the companions to reach that maqam, but even till today, the majalis and the zikr of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam attracts all of the creation towards the kamal, towards the perfection. Now, where do you think all of these ulama come out from? Why do they go to study? It's all the barakat of majalis of Imam Hussein. It's the blessing of the mimbar. And this is what they want to stop. You know, they know that as long as, you know, someone was telling that you will never be able to defeat, or you will never be able to stop the progress and development of the Shia school because of two reasons. One is because they have Imam Hussein. Number two, because they have Marjaiyat. So therefore, they are fully aware. That's why they are then to bomb the majalis of Imam Hussein, stop people from going to ziyarat of Imam Hussein, stop people from giving speeches. You know, 60 speakers have been banned in Pakistan to give majlis of Imam Hussein. They are banned. You know, one of them is Sayyid Jawad, who is, you know, the news came last night, he's banned. He cannot give majlis of Imam Hussein. Because they know that whether that be Abu Abdullah in the plain of Karbala delivering that sermon and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being in that state of peace and tranquility, or whether that be the zikr of Imam Hussein and the ziyarat of Imam Hussein, even after knowing that if they're going to go towards Imam Hussein's shrine, the possibility is that they will give their life, but they will still go. So it is that really took those individuals, those companions who have only been with Imam Hussein for an hour and have made them reach to that perfect level. So now, I don't want to start discussing a bit more complicated and which really requires a bit of ta'aqqul, you know, a bit of contemplation and pondering on couple of things in regards to this tawheed, in regards to this word Allah, which we have mentioned, this faith and belief which comes in the khutbah, and what does that really mean, because it is a bit difficult to digest. So perhaps I'll leave that for tomorrow. And that is in regards to the two different types of knowledge which is required to understand this kalima tawheed. As we talked about ikhlas and tawheed, they are the two different types of knowledge. And every creation, every human soul that have been created with the siresh, with the substance, with the essential quality of believing in tawheed, of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there's a clear hadith which comes from the Prophet that kullu mauludin yuladu ala fitrati. Every maulud that is born on that pure fitra. And it is fa'aba'uhu, it is the parents which make them Yahud or Nasara or Majus. But they are born as a Muslim, or they are born as fitrat Allah allati fatara an-nasa alayha. It's fatara an-nas. And in that fitra, have that the reality of believing in God. It is in that very, embedded in that very nature. So this really means that if a child is born and he is not taught how to read, or not taught the names of God, the concepts of God, and he's been left all alone, automatically he will believe in God. And that's what this means, obviously, right? If you try to understand what this hadith means, that if he, nothing is sort of ilqa or transferred to him, whether that be from a Muslim or a non-Muslim or a Yahud or Nasara, whatever belief, if he's born and if he's just brought up without being transferred by the name, no name of God or Allah being taken in front of him, still, automatically, naturally, he will be a believer. But how can that be possible? It really requires a bit of a premise, which we will do inshallah tomorrow. So the Ashab have reached that level of perfection in terms of their understanding, where they have become the Waliullah. That's what we recite. And the age factor wasn't there, whether they be age of 70 and over, 80 and over, that you find, you know, Muslim ibn Awsaja or other companion who was so old that he had tied a thread or a cloth on his forehead while holding his eyebrows, because the eyebrows were falling on his eyes. But he is there with Imam Hussein. And then he comes to Imam Hussein that, Rukhsa, you know, will you give me the permission? He said, there's an old man in the battlefield. I mean, imagine he doesn't even have the strength to carry the armor. He doesn't have the strength to really face that thirst and hunger. But look what Imam Hussein have done. Look what the Ma'rifat have done to this old man. He is ready to sacrifice. And as the tradition says, that he goes and he fights. And apparently he was wounded so badly that he went unconscious. And after the martyrdom of Imam, when the enemies started to shout that, you know, Imam, you know, Hussein have been killed and we have been victorious, when they started to, you know, clap and cheer and all that, that sort of waked him up. So when he gained that consciousness, he's in a state of pain, obviously, still. And he looks at the head of Imam Hussein, and he come in the, in a very sad, while looking at the head, that he's still alive, that Imam's head is on the spear. He picks up a dagger once again to fight. Many of them, they say that they ran away out of fear, because they had thought that these people, when they die, they will come back to life again and fight. You know, they had this fear, they ran away. But some of them, with the intention of the reward which has been promised to them, they went forward and they made him shaheed. He died as well. So this really points out to that each and every one of them, the companions of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, were there to sacrifice whatsoever they have, their whole existence, for the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, for the love of the deen. You know, John, who was the slave of Abu Zar, eventually he was with Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala as well. In terms of his physique, obviously he was from Africa, it seems, and he seeks permission that, my master, allow me to go and fight for you. Imam says that, I will free you. You know, freedom for a slave is their life, basically. You know, all the slaves will work, you know, all their life just to be free, even if that be for one day, that they are considered to be a free man. So Imam Hussein says, I freed you, you go, you know, you live. That's what And not just free you as such, but I will guarantee you the Shafaat. I will guarantee you paradise as well. Then he says that there is no paradise without you, O Hussein. And then he says, you know, there's a discussion which is recorded, which says that, is it really because of the sweat and the smell of the sweat that you're not allowing me to really go and sacrifice? So he shows the humility and the humbleness, which brings tears in the eyes of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And he says, John, go ahead, you, the permission is granted. And as he comes in the battlefield, he tears his shirt. And they say that, have you gone crazy? He says, yes, I'm crazy in the love of Hussein. And then he fights. What a furious battle. He killed many before he was put onto the ground and he was attacked and butchered. And while leaving this world, as all shuhada, gives that salams and salutations, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, which brings Imam Hussein alayhi salam swiftly and quickly to the body of John, where he places the head of John on his forehead, cleans the blood, and raises his hand and does a dua. And the dua, he says, Oh Allah, make the smell of John as the most beautiful and sweet fragrance. And they say that when the bodies in the Qatalga, after the loved ones came to bury, and this is reported by the fourth Imam, that after 3 days, miraculously, when Imam Zainul Abidin appeared in the battleground of Karbala, he says there was some sweet fragrance, beautiful smell. And finally, when Imam reached the body of John, it was really coming from the body of John, this sweet fragrance which really circulated, which was in the atmosphere in the plain of Karbala. Allah la'anatullah ala qawm al-zalimeen. سيعلم الذين ظلموا أن منقلبين ينقلبون اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأجل الأكرم بعدد ما أحاط به علمك بمولانا أبا عبد الله الحسين عليه السلام يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا قاضي الحاجات يا كافي المهمات إنك على كل شيء قدير رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة لأرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات especially the مرحومين of the brothers and sisters who are present here with a loud salawat على محمد وعلى محمد اللهم صل على محمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم